If you have your Bible, I want to turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for this, thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for thou art, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' And when they had heard the king, they departed. Lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise and take the young child, his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed unto Egypt, and was there unto the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 year old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life.' And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. Then when he heard of that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" I want to preach this morning for just a few minutes, if God will be my help, on this thought: the Christ of Christmas, nothing to be afraid of. Amen. The Christ of Christmas and nothing to be afraid of. As we look at the Word of God and we think on it so much, and think about how God loves us enough that He gives us His precious Word, and we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it brings out of a stirring of emotions in different people. I was thinking on this as I was looking at it, how it moves, and the wise men were moved as that sought the Lord Jesus Christ. They were moved with emotions when they saw a special star in heaven, and God began to draw them towards that star. And we also see Herod, who was feared the Lord. Amen. He feared what he might be, who he might come up to be, who he the actions, the things that come about because of this young child, and fear come upon him. Of course, we see in here that the angels would magnify the motion of the angels. They come and they would sing and glorify God in the highest for this Lord Jesus, a Savior that would be born among men. And praise God. Ain't you glad that he come? But in verse 3 it says that we got with Herod that Jerusalem was afraid. They were in fear of this coming Savior and this anointed one of God. We see in that in emotions that we see the wise men coming to the Lord and worshiping him and lifting up his name. Praise God. Coming before this little babe, but praise God, and worshiping him. But we see the kings of the earth, the world, in verse 16, who wanted to kill him because of the fear that they had of this young child. So we see in this, in the aspects of the Word of God, we see that these men come, these wise men come from the east, and they come to Jerusalem. And they come asking the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And boy, what a fear it put in them. Troubled in the heart of the kingdom of God, of Jerusalem. King Herod, God, he was tore up. He didn't know what to think of this, didn't know how to take this. And he was troubled by the birth, very birth of Christ himself. You know why he was troubled? Because of that? Because Jesus Christ was God. Amen? Jesus Christ was incarnate. He was born of a virgin, but even as a little bitty baby, that baby that Mary would kiss its face and snuggle it up and love on it, she was loving on none other than God Almighty, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. When she kissed his little face, Mary was literally kissing the face of God, and it scared her to death to think that somebody could come with that kind of power to be God Almighty. He's talking about his divinity. He was terribly afraid because of the divinity of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And just the thought of that scares people to death. Not only did it scare Herod to death to think of the divinity, the divineness of Christ Jesus, but praise God, hey, it scares the world today to think about the divinity, the divineness of God Almighty, that Jesus Christ is God. Praise God, he was manifest in the flesh and that he dwelt among men. Praise God. He grew up and became a Savior of the world, the Redeemer of mankind. And it tore them up just like it does today. Today people say, well, it's all right. Hey, if you want to brag on God, if you want to say stuff about God, it's all right. Just so you don't mention the name of Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Praise God, I don't say there's a name. The Bible says above all names. Amen? And it's the name of Jesus, the precious Lamb of God. But Herod was troubled, praise God, at the birth of Christ, not only because he was a God, because of his divinity, because of his omnipotence, because of the power that he had that was ministered to him through God Almighty. Because of his relationship with the Father. God Almighty had given him power. Even from a little babe, God gave Jesus power to draw folks unto him. Folks was constantly coming to the Lord Jesus. Even as a little boy in the temple, when he began to teach, they gathered around him to hear, and they marveled at the sayings that Jesus had, because he spoke not of himself, but he spoke from the Father. He spoke the words of God. He ministered. You know, Brother Scott was talking in Sunday school in the book of James. It said how we need to listen and be careful to listen, and we need to be careful how we speak. We need to be fervent in that, because sometimes the good Lord give us two ears and one mouth. We ought to listen twice before we speak once. Amen. Amen. I believe Jesus was if you'll pay attention to the Word of God, Jesus was a good listener. Amen? He was a good listener. He would hear people out when they come talk to him, when they come with requests, when they come with supplication. He was a good listener. Amen? That was part of his omnipotence, praise God. He had the power to listen. Hello? Amen? Hey, listen, sometimes the power to listen. Now, it tore King Herod all to pieces because he wasn't a listening man. I believe he was somebody with authority and with power, his own, praise God, and he wanted to minister wherever he wanted to. And he didn't care what people thought, what people said, praise God. He was the high potentate. He was the power in the land. And it scared him to death. It terrified. He was afraid of this Christ of Christmas. He was afraid of what he might do, who he might be. Praise God, he was afraid of the power that he had, because the power that Christ had was power from glory. Amen. Do you know that Jesus has the same power today? Amen. He's not relinquished any of His power. He said, I have all power in heaven and earth. Praise God. He still has it. That's why we can go to Him and we can call upon Him, Brother Jeff. Trust and believe in. Amen. Praise God. He hears and He answers our prayer. Amen. From the saving of soul to the healing of the flesh. If we'll just put our faith and trust and believe in. Praise God. He said we shall receive. And we've seen the power of God manifest in our lives. The power of God comes down, praise God, where we are. And Herod was scared to death of that power that Christ had. Amen. As he walked on this earth, even as a little baby, he was scared to death of the power that that little baby, the drawing that little baby had. Amen. Praise God. You know why that power was so prevalent? Because it was truth. Amen. He was troubled at the truth, praise God. He said, hey, listen, he called the scribes and the Pharisees, he called the chief priests together, and he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said in him, verse 5, he said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. They said, hey, listen, we don't really know of ourselves, but let us tell you what the prophet said. Let us tell you what the truth is. And he said, thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor, and shall rule my people Israel. Well, that throwed fear in the king. He said, what are you talking about? I'm the king. I'm the potentate. I'm the one in power here. I'm the one in charge. Amen. Scared him to death. The truth, praise God, spoke to his heart. The truth is something people don't want today. The truth is something people try to deny and reject and push it away. Little do we know, if we push away truth, we're pushing away the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. How do you know, preach? Because He is truth. Amen. Praise God. He is truth. He is the Word. Bless His holy name. Amen. And so they, but because of truth, praise God, they were afraid of the birth of Christ, praise God. They were afraid of Him because He came down to where men were. Praise God. He came to do for me, what He came to do for humanity. They were afraid of what He came to do. He came to rule and reign in the lives of people, not to beat them down and push them down like a potentate, but He come, praise God, in a meek and a humble spirit to bring them out and lift them up. Amen. I tell you something tonight, this morning, young'uns, Jesus Christ loves you. Amen. He loves me. He loves you. He loves us. And He come, praise God, as a little baby. He grew up and He come to bring us up and lift us up and encourage us and point us in the right direction and help us to walk therein. If we just put our faith and trust in Him. Amen. But Herod was troubled. The whole world that we live in today is troubled. You say, preacher, why was Herod so troubled over his little baby? Because of his sin. Amen. That's why the world's so troubled today about Christ. That's why the world today don't like this blessed old King James Bible, because it convicts us of our sins. Amen. It shows us who we really are. So Herod was troubled, praise God. His soul, his spirit was troubled because of the sin that was in his life. You say, preacher, how do you know? Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. We're all old sinners in need of a Savior. And this Savior had come. But in order to have a Savior, praise God, you've got to realize your sinfulness. Amen. And it troubled Herod that cause of his sin. Amen. What brings the conviction of sin? It's a guilty conscience. Amen. A guilty conscience. When God brings guilt on our conscience, it helps us to realize, praise God, that we're old sinners. Amen. We do things that's not right. We do things that we shouldn't do. I mean, from the littlest to the oldest, we rebel. We rebel against authority. We rebel against God. I've told you before, you don't have to train a child to rebel. They start out early. Amen. They start out, when you go to change their diaper, and I know they got to have it, but when you go change their diaper, they start trying to kick you and kick you away. Amen. You get that thing off of them, they good just to be free. Hello. Amen. They glad just to be free. Just be free of that thing. And so they'll go to kick. That's rebellion. And when that comes out, you just got to stop that mess. You say, hold on a minute. This ain't the way it is. I'm the mama, I'm the daddy, I'm the person, praise God, and we got to deal with this situation. Amen. Amen. This is a stinking mess. And we got to clean it up. All right? Amen. Things ain't too pleasant around here. You're taking after your daddy. We got to get this mess cleaned up. But they'll rebel. Amen. That's what we do. Our consciousness convict us of sin to show us guilt of our conscience, to convict us of sin, to show us, amen, a need to do something different. I believe there was a conviction that come on her and realized, bring her, that he wasn't doing what was right. He wasn't doing that was pleasing to God. Oh, you say, preacher, how do you know? I don't believe he could have been. Don't believe he could have been in Jerusalem where the Jews, even though they were religious, they weren't right on track, but praise God, they believed in God. Amen. They had some guidelines that they went by. And I know as a man and his stature, he had to know the guidelines. He had to know what these religious people were teaching. And he had to know that he wasn't following. He wasn't following with a clear conscience. There's a whole lot of our people today that's not a following in this and a clear conscience. Amen. There's things that's messed up. And we see this and we know what troubled King Herod, praise God, because I believe he was living in a godless manner. What's the trouble in a whole lot of our folks today is they're living in a godless manner. Amen? That's what's troubling their hearts. They can't get no peace. They can't get no rest. There's no happiness. And there's absolutely no joy in their lives because they're living in a godless manner. And we try to get, as parents and grandparents, we're trying to get our kids, our youngins, our grandkids, and we're trying to put them in a place where they can live a godly life. I praise God, so they can live in a godly manner, so they won't live in a godless manner. In a life without Christ. Amen? Because what that does, that brings to a worldly position. I believe Herod's heart was troubled because he was living in a worldly position. Amen? There's a whole lot of folks today that's living in a worldly position. We're chasing after everything, trying to catch it and pull it together and tie it together, and we're trying to do it without the Lord. Amen? But praise God, I want to say it don't work. You can never get the ends to come together and knot them up, praise God, without the help of the Lord. Amen? You say, preacher, I believe that with all my heart. You might say, as 58 years old, I've been there and done that. Amen? But praise God, with the Lord's help, He always helps us to pull the ends together, to tie it up, praise God, for His glory. And we just shout and praise Him and thank Him for what He's done. Not from a worldly position, from a Godward position. King Herod was troubled, and Jerusalem with him. Amen? Because when your potentate ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You know? We live in a world today, and our potentate ain't happy. There's no joy in them. So everything that comes out of them is negative. Hello? That's all you have. Amen. If you don't know God, if you're living in godlessness, amen, a world of godliness, you feed on that, you live in that, praise God. There's no peace, there's no happiness, and there's no joy. But when you come together in love, and you come together in Christ, you come together in the Word of truth, praise God, it starts pulling things together, and things start beginning to be real. Amen. You start to get help from the Lord. Your confidence begins to rise. You begin to come out of your sluthfulness and you stool of do nothing. And you begin to realize that there's a God of heaven and God loves me. And if God's going to love me, I'm going to love somebody else, praise God. I'm going to be a kind of child that God would be pleased with. Not a worldly person, but a godly person. Amen. So when you go down on the job site, people will look at you different. So when you go visit people at the hospital, praise God, they can see Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when you go to visit folks, praise God, they can actually have a little ray of hope in you. Amen. May not have none in themselves, but they'll have it in Christ Jesus the Lord, praise God, who makes all the difference. He gives us hope. He gives us a purpose. He comes with His plan, praise God. And when Herod began to seek and to search after this young child, Jesus, he was troubled in his heart because of what he knew about him. You know what's wrong with most of our people today? They don't know enough about Jesus. Amen. All they have is trouble of heart. All they have is fear in their lives. But praise God, I want to say the Christ of Christmas is nothing to be afraid of. Amen. He's nothing to dread. He's nothing to be afraid of. Praise God. He's that gives us help and hope. He's that brought us confidence, not in ourselves, but in God Almighty. Praise the Lord. But we see the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see Herod, he's troubled. We see the city's troubled. We see everybody around us troubled, praise God. But we see Christ, and we what about men today? Are people troubled today? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. People are troubled today. Amen. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, well, how come they're troubled? Because they're troubled because of that men are convinced of sin. Amen. Amen. People are being convinced of sin. When people stand up and we tell them the truth, the convincing of sin, the Word of God convinces us of sin. It shows us sin. It helps us to realize that it's true. It's real. Amen. Praise God. It's something that God shows us in His Word of truth. And we begin to be convinced that there's something wrong somewhere. There's something wrong in the world. There's something wrong with people. There's something wrong with homes. There's something wrong in the country. And we begin to be convinced that stuff ain't right. Amen. And we start looking that we might see. Praise God. We begin to realize some things. Men are troubled because of the convincing of sin. Men are troubled because of the convicting of sin. See, we have to be convinced of sin, amen, through the Word of God that points us to sin, shows us sin, so that we can be convicted of sin. Amen. When you and I begin to be convinced of sin, amen, then we begin to be convicted of sin. What happened to Herod, praise God, he began, through the Word of truth, he began to be convinced of sin, amen. That the Savior was coming to the world, praise God, to forgive sin. So he was convinced of sin, and I guarantee you he was convicted of sin. Amen? The trouble today, praise God, is they need to be a convincing of sin so we can be saved from sin. Need to be a convincing of sin so we can be convicted of our sin. Amen. That God would show us a way out. Praise God. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas. He's nothing to be feared, praise God, but to be reverenced and praised because He has the power to convince us and to convict us and to bring us out. Amen. I thank God for that convincing power of the Word. It convinces me of my sin. It shows me, praise God, the error of my ways and the goodness of His. The direction, praise God, He'd have us to go. Amen. He convinces us. He convicts us, praise God. So that we can, through Holy Ghost conviction, the trouble with men, praise God, so we can come and confess our sins. Amen. Praise God. God convinces us of sin. His Word convicts us of sin. Amen. To get us to a place where so that we'll confess our sin. Amen. Do you know you can't be saved without confessing your sin? We can't live right with God without confessing our sins. Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas, came not to be afraid of, but that we might be convinced, praise God, that we might be convicted, praise, and that we might confess our sins to God. Listen, young, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way it's supposed to be. When we mess up, we ought to say, Lord, because the convincing of the Word shows us that we're old sinners apt to sin. Amen? And conviction comes in and shows and it's like that finger of God that points to your heart. Amen? Where you see where you are, and then you begin to confess that sin. You confess to the Lord, you ask God to forgive you of that sin. Amen. So we confess it. We realize that we're sinners. And in the trouble of mandate, praise God, we have to confess our sins, praise God, but we have to repent of those sins. Amen. So it takes an acknowledging of it. See, Christ ain't nothing to be afraid of. We just come before Him. He's our mediator of one. He's our mediator between us and God. And when we realize that we've broke the heart of God, we come to the Lord and we confess that, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up. That's confession. And then we come with repentance and say, God, I'm sorry I messed up. This is what I've done. Hey, Lord, would you please forgive me of my sin? Amen. You repent of it. Praise God. You turn the other way. Amen. You repent. We repent. Praise God. And we repent of our sin. Ask God to forgive us. Amen. The trouble with mandate is we don't want to repent of our sin. We don't want to acknowledge our sin. And David said, because of that, it says, like my sin is ever before me. It's just right out there. And he said, it's between me and God. And it just keeps going before me. And I just can't get close to God. He said, but praise the Lord. Lord, if you'll cleanse me with His blood, you'll wash me and make me clean. He said, I'll get that out of my way. So it means you can have a right relationship. So that I can brag on you. So I can tell people about Christ. So I can lift up the name of God again for the glorious things He's done. He said, we confess our sins, we repent of our sins. And he said, then we forsake our sin. The Bible says we're not like dogs that go back to their vomit. Amen. You know, I know this is disgusting, but you know why dogs vomit? Because sometimes they eat disgusting things. Amen. But a one that'll go back to, it's a sorry situation when they go back to that and they eat it again. That'll mess up your lunch. Amen. But God said, if we ain't careful, that's the way we are as human beings. We'll come and we'll realize our sin. We'll realize the things that's holding us back and beating us down. And we'll confess it. We'll repent of it. But then we'll go back to it. That's not true repentance. True repentance is when we go to it. We say, Lord, forgive me of this. It's awful. I don't want to do it again. And we turn and we forsake that awful thing that we've done that broke the heart of God. Amen. The Lord says the Christ of salvation, the Christ of Christmas, praise God, is nothing to be afraid of. He's one we can go to and we can ask Him and believe in, and He'll take that stuff away. Cast it away from us, praise God. Pull us out of it. He don't want to. I've said it and I'll say it again as long as I'm here. God don't just bring us up so He can dangle us over it. God, Bible says God brings you up out of it, so He brings you up and He brings you out. He puts you on a solid foundation. He puts you in a safe place. Praise the Lord. The Christ of Christmas, praise God. He's to be revered. He's to be feared. He's to be respected. He's to be loved because He first loved us. So we forsake those sins. Amen. We confess them before God. Say, Lord, I'm an old sinner. Lord, I've messed up. This is what I've been doing. I turn my back. I'm not going to go back there again, Lord. And I need your help to do confession. We say, Lord, I need your help. I need you to help me to stay away from this mess. Amen. You know, that might mean that we have to stay away from certain people. Hello? Amen. It might be that we have to stay away from certain people, praise God. Because of those things that so easily beset us. So we have to turn from, we have to confess and praise God. We have to ask God to help us. And we confess Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We confess Christ is that person, that in-between that comes alongside us and helps us and gives us the right experiences. That encourages our hearts, praise God, and draws us closer to Himself. That gives us a guiding hand. Amen, the trouble with men today that we're not doing these things. Amen. We're trusting in our flesh or we're trusting somebody else. But he said, men today, troubles are that they don't, the bottom line, we just don't want to live for Christ. Amen. We just don't want to live. We should be living for Christ, for He get glory and honor out of our lives. So that people, when they see us, they don't see you and see who you are. They see Christ Jesus. Amen. The Lord and Savior. Your family sees Christ Jesus. Your children see Christ Jesus. Your co-workers see Christ Jesus when they see you. I wonder today how many See, we shouldn't be afraid of Christ of Christmas. There's nothing to be afraid of in Him. But we are to be afraid of us and what we're not without Him. Amen. The trouble with men today, praise God, we're trying to make a life, we're trying to live without Christ. And we need Christ in our hearts, praise God. Herod was terrified of the Lord to the point that he wanted to kill Him. Amen. When those wise men, he felt deceived, and they departed from Him, went another way because God warned them in a dream, and they went back to their place another way. And Herod, he said he had inquired diligently of the priests and the scribes and the wise men, and he began to slay those little children from 2 years old and down that were in Jerusalem, Bethlehem. He began to kill them. Amen. Because of a hardness in his heart. When God Almighty made a way that through this experience he could have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the free pardon of sin. Could you imagine what kind of king he could have been if he would accept Lord Jesus Christ and been the kind of king that would have lifted up the Lord, magnified the God of heaven? But he didn't. He chose to go in his own way. He chose not to live for Christ. But rather he chose to try to destroy this child called Jesus. Amen. But what's wrong with the world today, praise God? A whole lot of people's afraid of the Christ of Christmas. The Christ, amen, the one that came to seek and to save those that was lost. But God Almighty, praise God, the troubled souls of men, God came to save. And He come, praise God, until He was He wants to touch us until we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. He wants to touch us, praise God, until we have fellowship through the Holy Spirit. That's the purpose of God. I mean, we shouldn't be afraid of it, but we should long for it. We should desire the touch of God in our lives, especially a season like this. We should desire, praise God, the Christ of Christmas. Amen. Praise God, I'm not afraid of it. I rejoice in the Christ of Christ. I rejoice in the Lord Jesus. I rejoice in the Messiah of God who was born, praise God, the anointed of God that was born on Christmas Day. Amen. God Almighty came down, condescended down to where we are, praise God. We couldn't get up high enough to get to Him, so He come down to where we were. That's what He does every day of our life. He's nothing to be afraid of. Praise God, He's that to be rejoiced in. Because when we can't get to Him, praise God, He can get to you. He knows where you're at. He knows He knows how you act. He knows how you think. He knows what you do. He knows the thoughts and the intent of your heart. Amen. He's right there. He knows. He knows all about us because He is the God of heaven. Amen. And He continues to trouble us. Amen. He'll continue to trouble you. He'll continue to trouble us. He'll convince us. He'll convict us. Till we confess, till we repent, till we forsake, till we come to the Lord, praise God, till we realize that He is the Lord of heaven, till we receive Him, praise God, as our Savior. We're filled with His Spirit, and we're led of the Holy Ghost all the days of our life. Amen. He'll trouble us. Thank God for the troubling hand of God. Amen. Brother Bill, I'm glad He don't leave us alone. He doesn't leave us alone, but He troubles us every day. You say, well, preacher, that's just not right. No, because He loves us. Because He loves you, He troubles you. What's the matter of today? Let me say this, and I'm done. I'll hush. The reason the Christ of Christmas, the reason so many people are afraid of Him is because He's dealing with our hearts, and we don't want to listen. We want to go on in our own pernicious ways and do what we do without any thought or attitude toward God. But God Almighty, He's right there. He's convicting, He's touching, He's helping our hearts. His power, His divinity, His magnificence is there to manifest Himself to us and through us. But we got to just to not be afraid of it, but receive it and rejoice in it. That Christ Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Amen. King Herod was terrified of this Christ child. Amen. Praise God. I'm not terrified in Him. Praise God. I magnify His blessed name and I thank Him for all that He does. His magnificence and His power that He has to influence our lives. I mean, from the teeny tiniest to the great biggest oldest here, God is there to influence our lives, to help us and to manifest Himself in us, to show us how much He loves us and how much He cares for us. He's nothing to be afraid of. Amen. Well, now we should have a reverent fear of God. That's awesome respect, because He's God and we're not. Because Jesus is our Savior and we can't save ourselves. But praise God, He says if we'll just confess our sins, amen, Holy Ghost conviction, convincing, conviction, confessing, forsaking, touching, being touched of God, amen, confessing those sins, said, Lord, I know I broke Your heart. How many times, listen, I'm done, how many times have you broke the heart of God by the things that we do and say? Amen. It's time, church, that we got on our face and said, God, forgive me a sinner. Help me, Lord. I have a sincere desire in my heart to do better, to be pleasing to You. Amen. Hey, Lord, I'm not afraid of You, but I love You. I fear You in a reverent fear. And Lord, I need Your help every day of my life. Amen. From the time I get up to the time I pillow my head. And Lord, in the meantime, I need You to watch over me while I sleep, that bad things won't even go through my mind while I'm trying to catch my rest. Amen. Praise God that God Almighty would manifest Himself in our hearts and our lives, because we're not afraid of the Christ of Christmas. We rejoice in the birth of our Savior.